So the very last sentence of today's gospel says that this was the third time that our Lord appears to his disciples after he rose from the dead. And in all of the scriptures, there are 12 post-resurrection appearances to the disciples. Now, I'm assuming most people here are probably cradle Catholics or even cradle Christians who grew up with this understanding of resurrection, hearing it every day. We say in the Creed every Sunday about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So it might be commonplace or something that we just take for granted. But this concept of resurrection was unheard of in first century Judaism. So I'd like to look at just how radical an idea this was back then, resurrection that is, and then how it's radical today. So in Jesus' time, there were many beliefs about what happened to people after they died. There was an agreement in the Jewish people. You had the Sadducees who believed that there was no afterlife, and you had the Pharisees that believed there was an afterlife. If you ever get them confused, one of my professors gave me a way that you'll never get them confused. The Sadducees don't believe in the afterlife. That's why they're sad, you see. All right? You'll never get it mixed up again. All right? We see this understanding in Judaism of an afterlife with Martha, when Martha says to Jesus, "I know that Lazarus, her brother, will rise from the dead on the last day." So even in Judaism, there was an agreement about what happens. If we go outside of Judaism, we see that there's sort of this dualism between the body and the soul, where some people maintain that the body trapped the soul, and at death, the soul would flee and the body would just decay. So the body had no meaning whatsoever. And finally, you would have some people that would hold in a reincarnation, right? Buddha lived 500 years before Christ, so his teaching had started to spread around. So you would see this understanding of the reincarnation would be known at this time in Jesus' area of the world. So we see that there was many different ideas as to what happens to us after we die. But what makes Jesus' resurrection so radical is nobody believed in the resurrection immediately. So to have this man who was tortured, crucified, buried, and entombed for 3 days, to all of a sudden appear 12 different times to thousands of people was kind of radical. The people who denied any resurrection, like, whoa, there he is. The people were thinking, well, this will happen at the end of time. Wow, here he is right now. So Christ's resurrection really shook a lot of people. Christ wasn't decaying in the tomb. He wasn't waiting for the end of life. He hadn't escaped his body. He didn't come back into the life form. He came back as Jesus Christ. He came back as the man that the disciples had known. So he had defeated death by rising from the death right then and right now. Now, over the past couple centuries, people both inside and outside of Christianity want to attempt to reduce Christ's resurrection to a myth or a symbolic understanding of resurrection just to kind of make us feel good. So, you know, we feel good about when we die. Well, does that hold up to scrutiny? Let's start with the understanding of a myth. Mythical literature usually deals with an ahistorical archetype and usually starts out with once upon a time or in a galaxy far, far away. But the Gospels deal with a very specific 3-year time period 2,000 years ago. It deals with a man named Jesus Christ. You can go today, this afternoon, to the local Benicia Library right down the street here, and you can open up secular history books, and they will say a man named Jesus Christ walked the earth 2,000 years ago. If we look at the Acts of the Apostles, where today's first reading came from, we see that it mentions many cities and places. It talks about Galilee, Italy, Jerusalem, Judea. It even talks about this very exotic Mediterranean island where our beloved Father David comes from. Malta, chapter 28. Father David is very proud to tell you at dinner frequently that chapter 28, Acts of the Apostles, Malta, Paul went there. I'm like, all right. So you can jump on a plane today and be in any of these places mentioned within, I don't know, 10, 12 hours. The Acts of the Apostles also mentions 66 historical figures by name that we know about. So if we look at this and we say, look, we have eyewitnesses at places we know about, of people we know about an event that happened in a very specific time period, well, then this can't be a myth. This is history. Something happened to this man 2,000 years ago. As for the resurrection being a feel-good story, think about the feel-good story like a Hollywood movie. Well, there used to be feel-good movies, Hollywood movies. Not anymore. They're kind of weird, but that's another story. It used to be after all the adventures happened, you know, they kind of ride off into the sunset and everything's wonderful and everyone's happy because we want to feel happy, right? And Hollywood wants to make Happy Movie Part 2, so you give them more money, right? Keep the series going. But what happened to the people who experienced the resurrection? What happened to the people who preached about Christ risen from the dead in the early church? Well, again, let's go back to the Acts of the Apostles. From Easter Sunday all the way to Pentecost Sunday, the first reading at all of our masses, I think it's going to be from the Acts of the Apostles. And when we read the Acts of the Apostles, what do we see? What happens to these people? Well, we're told that they're falsely accused, they're whipped, they're killed, they're persecuted, they're in prison, and they're exiled. We know from history that 10 of the original 12 disciples are martyred. We know from history that tens of thousands of early Christians are put to death under the Roman Empire. Now, I don't know about you, but being whipped, persecuted, in prison, and killed doesn't make me feel good. You know, if I'm ever called to be martyred, I hope I accept it. I'm not going to feel good about it, but I'll accept it. And then jumping back to the myth claim, we don't read of anybody becoming a martyr for Zeus or a martyr for Neptune. So it's hard to make the arguments that Jesus' resurrection from the dead is just another myth, or that it was given to us to make us feel good. But if Jesus' resurrection offers eternal life, then why do some people reject it? Why do some people actually fight against it quite vigorously? Well, the reason is because why did he have to die in the first place? Christ died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. But in order to accept the resurrection from the dead, then I have to accept the reality of sin. If I accept the reality of sin, then I am called to repent. If I am called to repent, then I have to amend my ways. And a big part of that is taking responsibility for my actions. We all know that this can be very difficult. It's part of our human nature. Let's go back to the very beginning. Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve get caught, they don't say, "Sorry, God, we did it." Adam blames God and Eve. Eve blames the snake. They play the blame game. In Genesis 4, when Cain is thinking about killing his brother, God says, "I will give you everything you need not to do this. Just stay close to me." He doesn't. Lamech, we're told, kills two people in Genesis 4 and introduces polygamy into the human experience. Now, I'm not a pessimist. I see wonderful things happening. Next week, I'll baptize these little 11 little ones. Praise God, right? It'll be wonderful on Saturday. I get the joy of witnessing people's marriages. I get the joy of seeing people coming back to Christ. I get the joy of seeing people repent. But I also get to see the evil that men do. I get to see sin firsthand. Well, there are many today who want to deny the existence of sin. They want to make sin a myth, if you will. But just because we deny it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Think of any physical or psychological illness that is not treated. Over time, it gets worse. Think about cancer. If it's not treated, it eats the host alive. It destroys the person that it is in. But it doesn't have to be this way. We know we can go to a doctor to help us with our psychological or physical needs. And we know that we have Christ who died so our sins can be forgiven and so that we can have eternal life. This is the good news. This is the great news of the Easter season. Jesus Christ rising from the dead. So the resurrection is in fact very radical and very challenging for the people who experienced it and for us who try to live it out today. So the question we really have to ask ourselves is, do we really believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead for the forgiveness of sins? Or, explicitly or implicitly, do we believe there is no sin, and therefore a Savior really is just a myth?